You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Thursday, and yes, there is a podcast today. I know many of you won't be listening to this until Friday, so lucky you, you'll get two podcasts in one day. But I'm recording this podcast and releasing it late here on a Thursday evening. Just got finished wrapping up hosting the Grant Napier Show from 3 to 7 p.m. on Sports 1140 KHDK with my guy, Jay Marshall, and we had a great time hosting. I know many of you listened to that, so thank you so much for listening to that and for chiming in on the text line or calling in and saying that you listened to the Locked On Kings podcast. I certainly appreciate the support there. But in case you missed it, we had an interview on the show with Jason Jones of The Athletic. Going to be playing for that for you in just a little bit. But before then, welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. If you are new, doing things a little bit unconventional today. Normally, we go into in-depth Kings conversation. If there are interviews, they're happening live and you're hearing them first right on here. But because of my hosting duties at KHDK, I elected to just replay that interview for you so you had something to listen to here on this Thursday night. My name is Matt George. For those of you that do not know, I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Kings. I work there as a on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. So I don't have any time to spare here, so I'm going to share with you this interview that I had with The Athletic's Jason Jones, Kings insider, longtime Kings beat writer, formerly with the Sacramento Bee. He provides a lot of great perspective for myself and for Jay with the Kings resting De'Aaron Fox, with Marvin Bagley potentially being a starter full-time for this Kings squad, and the things that they want to do around the trade deadline. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation that I had with Jason. We'll come back on the other side. Jason Jones, and Jason does a fantastic job covering this Kings team, formerly a longtime beat writer for the Sacramento Kings. Now does fantastic work with The Athletic. More than enough reason just reading his content to subscribe. Jason, kind enough to join us here on KHDK. Jason, how are you, sir?
Doing pretty good. How's everybody else doing?
Oh, not bad.
Everything is good over here, my friend.
That's always good to hear.
I'm curious from your standpoint, though. Give your side of the debate, too. Was resting De'Aaron Fox amongst the other two veterans in Toronto the right and smart move by head coach Dave Yeager, you think?
I mean, I think De'Aaron's a little more banged up than he wants to let on.
Yeah.
But I also think there's the fact that, you know, you have a few days off before you play tomorrow. So my thinking would have been, you know, give it a go and then see. But I think in the big picture, I know the Kings are in the playoff race, and you're close. You're hanging around. I don't think this one game was going to be the reason why they don't make the playoffs. So I think you had to kind of look at the fact that because De'Aaron's kind of banged up right now. He's not going to say it. He said repeatedly he's fine, but I think, you know, it's not the worst decision. I would have leaned toward letting him play and giving them, a few days off before they played the Grizzlies. But I understand that, you know, you watch the way, you know, that last game went. Maybe he just was a little run down against Brooklyn.
Jason, a lot of debate also between Kings fans right now. After Marvin Bagley had his first career start, is Marvin Bagley, should he be the starter going forward? And I got to ask you, do you think this was an audition for Marvin, or are we going to see Bielitsa back in the starting lineup come the Memphis game?
I don't know Memphis. I mean, Jaren Jackson's been a bad matchup for them, no matter who they've thrown at him. I really think that Memphis probably, you know, did the Kings a favor that last game in Sacramento where they didn't play him a lot. but I think it really is about Dave and his kind of his preferences to have some space out there for De'Aaron. And right now, and also when I've talked to Willie and Marvin about this, those guys kind of play in the same area.
Right.
And it's kind of, you know, well, do you really want to turn Marvin into a stretch four? And I mean, and Dave has a way of letting you know, he may not outright say, but he has a way of letting you know what he thinks. He says, you know, even in Brooklyn, Marvin. now I'm going like Dave when he calls him Marvin Gaye. But, you know, Marvin's best, you know, his best spot there on the block and the elbow. And he's talked about Marvin being a great post player. And really, Willie's not like a step out, shoot 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's still a lot of work to kind of figure out where they go. And even the same with when you play Marvin and Harry together, still trying to figure out who fits where the best. And I think maybe starting out the game, you're better off maybe with Bielitsa, just because they really want that shooting in that space. But, you know, Bielitsa hasn't exactly been lighting it up lately. He only played 5 minutes against Brooklyn, which is why I'm kind of surprised he got arrested. I'm like, pretty much arrested him against Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's just it's part of the process. And I think if the Kings didn't have so many wins at this point, it really wouldn't be as big of a debate about what do you do. I think the fact that they are within striking distance of the eighth spot, there's kind of it makes it a little trickier. Do you go with the vets? How much do you integrate the young guys? You know, I think Marvin's clearly earned his minutes and earned a right to get a shot at starting, but I just don't really know. Kind of hard to gauge where Dave is from game to game with that.
Kings insider for The Athletic, Jason Jones, joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jason, we got to see, at least we've gotten to see in bunches, Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley sharing the floor together. And I know Dave Yeager has talked about it postgame a number of times, that he's comfortable rotating them in and out, giving them touches and opportunities in the low post on the offensive side of the floor. Have you seen enough from the two of them playing together and being effective together offensively in limited minutes to think that it's worth giving it a shot to see Bagley and Willie playing alongside each other? Or do you really just want to keep spacing as it is?
For me, I think you got to give one of those guys, me, it would be Marvin. You got to get Marvin out there. I mean, to me, Marvin's ready, to step it up. I think with Harry, they're still kind of I don't think you can play Marvin, Harry, and Willie together, but I think you can play Willie and Marvin together and then rotate Harry in the mix. And I think that, Dave was using Harry at five. Harry's not big. That was part of his struggle with the fouls, especially early, is that he's going to get guys who are way too big for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of reminds me, and I put it in my chat yesterday, he reminds me kind of a small DeMarcus. The way he can operate at the elbow, he can pass the ball, you can see he's a real cerebral player. So I definitely think he could figure out where to go, if he is playing with one of those guys. It's kind of what happens when you have a collection of bigs in a game where everyone else is going smaller. You got to figure out, can we play two of these guys together? And I think you can. It's a tricky thing, because I know one thing Dave doesn't want to do is have two young guys out there together when you've already got a second-year point guard, a 30-year shooting guard. How young do you want to be?
Jason, Nemanja Bjelica, you mentioned the fact that he only played 5 minutes against Brooklyn. We've seen through this month of January, his minutes steadily decline, as has his shooting percentage, his 3-point shooting percentage. He was shooting lights out, close to 50% for the first month of the season. Hard to sustain that. Obviously, it has dropped off a little. Is his minutes restrictions and limitations now just have to do with the fact that he is struggling offensively, or is there something deeper to that? Is Dave Yeager not happy with his defensive production, rebounding production, or is it really just, you're not shooting well right now and we want to give Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles some run?
I think it's a combo. You think about, if he's not out there making shots, what if he, and I think the first month of the season was kind of the anomaly for his, for him. He wasn't going to play that well all year. And probably the reality is he probably is better off, on a better team. He's probably in more of a reserve role anyway. I just think he's just kind of leveled off being close to the guy that he is. Defensively, he's going to struggle against the game in Brooklyn. It was a rough one for him. And that's the second game in a row where you saw Dave sit him in the second half for matchup reasons. I think it was told up, I think maybe the game in Brooklyn got out of hand. He never went back to him. But I think he's kind of being more the player he probably is, for his career, just in terms of how his projection is going to be, which to me is more of a backup-type player. But, I just think, one of the problems you have is that you don't have another guy on the roster who can duplicate what he does. If you want that space, unless you play Justin Jackson there, and then there's your only wing off the bench side.
Yeah.
So, it's just kind of exposed, but in a lot of ways, the flaws of the roster, which is why I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a move at the deadline, not just for this season, but can they get another, wing or another, a stretch for just, for the rest of the season and going into next season trying to fill that hole? Because right now, you plug one hole, you leave another hole somewhere else.
Well, plugging that hole, and you reported this a couple months ago, Otto Porter, with the trade deadline approaching, he's been playing lights out since John Wall got hurt, and the Wizards have been playing a lot better too. Shooting 47% from three. Are you hearing anything if he's still available, or with the Wizards playing better, are they kind of holding back on maybe getting rid of him?
Well, even back then, the Kings were kind of sitting back hoping they would make him available. Some of the worst they played, they were hoping he'd be available. And the Wizards have kind of had the long-standing, you know, stance that they weren't going to give him away. And now he's playing better. And I guess, you know, part of this, you know, that market, they don't want to be seen as tanking. And, you know, they were to say trade Otto in the salary dump. You know, that could be easily perceived that they're giving up on the season. And like I said, they've been playing better lately. Even though Otto had gone to a reserve role, he's played better. And his numbers, when John doesn't play, are, you know, quite the contrast with the player he is. He doesn't play with John. So, I know the Kings would love to have him. You know, they tried to get him when he was a restricted free agent before. But I just think it's going to be, with him playing better, it's going to be hard, you know, unless you offer up one of the young players, which the Kings really don't want to give up any of their core guys in a deal. Just, you know, their thinking is, we're not giving up an important piece for 2 years down the road. They try to win five more games and play the Warriors in the first round.
The most names that we've heard surrounded by the Kings, or for the rumors of the Kings to be interested in, happen to be big men, whether it's Enes Kanter, Mark Gasol, names like that. And we haven't heard much from the small forward position, which I think we all agree that is the team's biggest hole. Iman Shumpert doing as best he can to hold down that position is more of a two, but has done as good of a job, I think, as he could have possibly done at that spot. But I know the Kings are looking to try and improve it in some way, shape, or form. Are there any under-the-radar names that catch your eye at all, potentially, that could be available for the Kings to go out and get, Jason?
A name I've heard more than once, and a name I like for them, is Jonathan Simmons, you know, wing out down in Orlando. Salary, not out of this world. You know, you have cap space, so you could actually absorb him without having to necessarily, you know, unload any salary. And the Kings, they have a couple of salaries like McLemore, where if you just wanted to clear a roster spot, you could release him, and, you know, eating that salary wouldn't destroy you. And you could maybe bring on someone like that. But they don't necessarily need a star there. They need a guy. They need depth. You know, right now, really, Iman's really a two. You know, and so you don't really have enough of those guys who are in that 6'7", 6'8" range that you can kind of play some different games with, you know. Throw multiple bodies at some of these wings they got to see, you know, maybe – you know, coming down the stretch. So that's a name it's still intriguing. You know, then some of the other guys that, you know, you hear about, like a Kent Bazemore, guys who have expiring deals. The thing for the Kings is, do you really want to give up, you know, maybe one of your second-round picks or something in the future, you know, or maybe, like, say, Frank Mason, and, you know, do you want to do that in order to get a guy for half the season? And they've pretty much been inclined, they've pretty much been steady in saying they don't want to make a deal like that. They want someone they can maybe keep beyond the season.
And building off of that, is it safe to assume, or safe to say, Jason, that the Kings are not going to make any kind of moves that puts a stop to or goes against their long-term plan, which is a slow and young development of this current core?
Yeah, I mean, the only way they come up from that core is you're getting an all-star in return. So, I mean, they really have no desire to disrupt those guys, the development of those guys, just for a quick fix. Like I said, you know, you're not going to move a key young player so you can hopefully get to the number eight spot. You know, that's counterproductive, because in a lot of ways, the Kings are ahead of schedule. You know, there's people in the front office who thought they would be better, and they thought that meant 30-plus wins. They could finish 500 this year, which would be monumental, I think. So people upstairs, they realize that as good as things have been, this is really kind of ahead of the schedule right now. So you don't blow it all up thinking, okay, we're so much better than we were. You know, let's try to make a crazy move to make something happen. Because if you've been seeing it lately, some of those guys who played so well early, whether it just be fatigue or inexperience, they're kind of tailing off a little, which is another reason why they rest De'Aaron. And that's another reason why they're out kind of looking for another point guard to kind of be able to spell De'Aaron more.
Jason Jones, Kings insider from The Athletic, joining us. Jason, if the Kings do stay pat at the trade deadline, because from what we read, there's not a whole lot of sellers out there, Have you heard any rumblings about them possibly releasing someone like a Zach Randolph or a Costa Kufis or a Ben McLemore that are not playing big minutes and trying to get into the buyout market possibly and get a small forward there?
It would depend on who's available in the buyout market. And the thing with that, the tricky part about it, that if you're looking at some of those guys, you know, you're still looking at the teams in the, you know, not in the 10th spot in the West. Those buyout guys are usually looking to go to a team that's closer to a championship. So personally, I would love to, you know, if we're going to buy out anybody, buy out Costa and let him have a chance to go, you know, play somewhere. Costa's only 29 years old. I mean, he gets lumped in with the old guys, but he's not old. And I would, you know, I know there are teams he could help, but the Kings really do like having him in that locker room. He's not a problem. He's a solid vet. Whenever you need him, he'll be ready. But they're not just going to release a guy in hopes of getting someone in the buyout market. It'd be more a matter of who's out there, who they think they could really get. And even then, you don't have to release one of those guys. You know, you could release a guy like McLemore and bring in a guy on a buyout. They have plenty of two guards right now.
Jason, the Kings don't have a draft pick or a first round draft pick coming up next season. Not sure if they're going to try and fix that here at the trade deadline. They certainly have time or assets to maybe try and do that. However, I'm sure winning right now is more important. The one asset that they do have that no other team has right now is cap space. Then everybody this summer gets some much needed cap relief. So free agency this upcoming summer is going to be an interesting time, not just for the Kings, but for a lot of teams in the NBA. If the Kings elect to try and play that game and engage in a bidding war for some of these names that could potentially become available, do you think they've done enough so far this season, assuming things carry out through the remainder of this year? Have they done enough from a young squad standpoint to show enough flair to maybe attract, not necessarily a massive name like a Kevin Durant, but attract a decent name or two that might be interested to play here in Sacramento when they weren't before?
I think they have, and they're going to have to pay, you know. And that's the only scary part for them is how much money do you want to offer a Chris Middleton, you know. That's the only scary part. But I think they've definitely done enough to where, you know, if you're out there and you're like maybe that second-tier free agent and they make you basically an offer you can't refuse, you're going to look at it. And also, they're going to be players in the restricted free agent market. I know everyone thinks the unrestricted guys, but they made a pitch for Zach LaVine, you know, signed him to an offer sheet last summer. And they're going to look really heavily into that market for, you know, maybe you get a younger guy, you know, maybe you get a guy who, as a, you know, his rookie deal didn't perform up to expectations, you know, like a Kelly Oubre. Maybe you make a pitch for a guy like that, you know, and then his restricted number wouldn't be as high as, say, throwing a number at Chris Middleton. That way you keep some financial flexibility and you add the depth you want. And then maybe you get a young guy who potentially could help be a part of your core down the road. So they're going to look at all those avenues. And, you know, they're not going to, you know, they won't be the team that Kevin Durant's looking at. But that, I mean, with as much space as they have and kind of what they've shown this year, I think they're going to get somebody. It's just a matter of will they get the right person who will, you know, fit in with them and want to be here.
Jason, I'm sure you see this on your Twitter timeline all the time. And around here, the hot button name with listeners, Kings fans, callers is Willie Cauley-Stein. Is Willie here past the trade deadline?
I think so. I just think, you know, unless you get, like, say, a first-round pick in exchange from him, I think he's still here. I mean, as much as everyone loves to kill Willie, I think some of that's just fatigue. Now him and Costa are the two longest-tenured guys. So, I think, you know, just everyone expects Willie to – I don't know what they expect from him. But I kind of go from the point of view is I accept Willie for who he is and not what maybe in my mind or in someone's mind he should be. And talk to the guys around the team as far as, you know, coaches, front office. I mean, he's still getting you about, 14-9, which is, you know, it's not star numbers, but that's not the worst. You know, he's not the worst player in the league, for God's sake. And I think if you get to the restricted free agency with him, you see what's out there. You try to sign him to maybe a shorter-term deal to keep him. Or if someone makes him a crazy offer, you know, make them try to max him out or close to it, you say thanks for your 4 years here and you move on to Marvin. So to me, it's pretty simple. I don't think you have to move him. But I know unless, like I said, you get a first-round pick back from him, I don't know if anyone's going to give you a first-round pick for Willie.
The Kings, Jason, signed or extended head coach Dave Yeager's coaching staff through next season to put him and Yeager on even playing fields. They have one more year on their contract, as does general manager Vlade Divac. Have you heard anything, or does your gut feel in any way like extensions are coming for Vlade and for that coaching staff this summer? Or do you think Vivek and the Kings organization as a whole are waiting to see how the remainder of this season and potentially playoffs play out before committing to anything long term?
You wait to the end of the season. I mean, I think that's a smart play for both sides. You know, if because we all know in this business, having 1 year left on your deal as a coach is like being a free agent, because no one really likes to go into a season with a lame duck coach. So I think it's smart for both sides to see how this thing goes. I know Dave likes a lot of the guys on this team, but, you know, you get to the end of the year, see where you are. I mean, I'm not predicting this, but what if they only win 5 more games this year and there's like a mutiny?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not.
Let's hope that's not a thing.
That's going to happen. I'm not getting the sense that's going to happen. But, you know, what if it did? You look really silly locking them up for 3 more years in January. So, you get to the end of the year, see where everyone's at, you know, see if everyone's on the same page, and then you go from there. I think there's no need to rush that. You know, there's no need to say, okay, we're above 500 after, you know, 50 games. Yay, let's party and give everyone a new deal.
My thanks to Jason for appearing on the Grant Napier Show today with me and with Jay, and my thanks to KHDK for allowing us to use this audio here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. I have an interview that I think you're going to enjoy on tomorrow's podcast. It's actually happening, recorded that morning, and it is with Dave Deuce Mason, former KHDK radio host, current executive radio producer for the Sacramento Kings and the play-by-play voice of the Stockton Kings. He'll be joining me tomorrow, so definitely look forward to that, and we'll also preview the Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies happening tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.